Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I am Alex Chester, here to start a podcast for the first time in a while. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
You sounded very surprised to hear your own name.
Yeah, well, I haven't been on this podcast that frequently lately.
Well, you're also going on like an 8-day vacation soon, and you're probably going to miss a lot more episodes.
Well, it's, to be fair, it's not a vacation. I will be working remotely from my office for work. I just won't be working remotely on this podcast.
So when you're not at home, you can't sneak away from your wife and record a podcast.
Well, I'm going to be in my in-law's house, so there's fewer places to sneak to. So
why can't you? I don't understand. Why can't you just say you're working? And part of your work is yelling about, like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And just lock your father-in-law's office.
Because we have scores of listeners. We'll snitch to my wife.
No one's going to snitch. No one's if people snitched on the things I say to your wife, she would have, you know, punched me in the face already.
Yeah.
And people don't really snitch.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started.
We had a cliffhanger from a few episodes ago. We wanted to rank the divisions, and finally we're together at the beginning of an episode, so let's do that now, and then we'll talk about a guy from maybe the best division, the worst division. I don't know where Jake Lewin and his Indianapolis Colts are going to end up, but who do you have as the worst division in the NFL, Chester?
Well, who do you have as the worst division in the NFL?
I think an oldie but a goodie. I think you have to have the AFC East as the worst division.
Yeah. Even though they have the best team.
Even though they still, they certainly have a top three team. But yeah, there's just three teams with very little upside. The Bills seem to be falling apart. The Dolphins are probably the least interesting team in the league right now. And, you know, the Jets could be interesting. People are really raving about Darnold, but the rest of their team isn't great yet. So the Patriots can only go down. The other teams don't seem to, you know, the Bills and Dolphins are on a downward trend, it seems like.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts that somehow, like, for 15 years, this division has been sort of the joke of this division has been it's been the Patriots and three garbage teams. And 15 years later, this is, like, the most extreme version of that we've seen.
In a way. I mean, I don't want to shortchange the Jets that much. Like, who knows? Who knows how good Sam Darnold will be? Maybe not this year, but, like, they're you know, would you rather have...
I forgot. We're ranking the divisions in 2020. Okay, all right.
Well, would you rather have a barely legal to drink Sam Darnold or twice his age Tom Brady?
In 2018, I'd rather have Tom Brady.
From now on, if you could have one or the other.
We're ranking the divisions on August 15th, 2018.
I know, but I'm asking you a question. Would you rather have Darnold or Brady from now going forward?
It depends on my team. If I was the Jets, I'd rather have Darnold. If I was the Patriots or the Vikings, I'd rather have Brady. I mean, we discussed this when Kirk Cousins was a free agent, and I said to you at the time, I said, if I'm a Jets fan, I don't know why I want Cousins. You're not winning anything in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say 2 years, because things can turn around quickly in the NFL.
Yeah.
So you want the upside.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. All right, so the AFC East is the worst division of football. We all agree with that.
We agree on that. Jake, you're with us so far?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just taking it all in, guys.
Okay. You're learning. My second to worst division is the AFC West. The AFC East can win the Super Bowl. AFC West, to me, has no teams that can win the Super Bowl.
So I have the AFC West sixth, so one spot higher. There's no great team in this division. I could see everybody in this team division going 8-8, but that's the thing. There's no terrible team in this division, right? You don't have a Cleveland Browns in this division.
Like the Broncos could be pretty bad. I'm not saying they will be, but their Broncos basement is really low.
Well, I mean, look, they were, you know, obviously they were terrible last year. They were 5-11 last year.
Yeah, and I mean, and Case Keenum, like, could stink.
For sure.
The Raiders, to me, like, we're both very
skeptical.
Hold on,
our guest was trying to chime in.
What do you think, Jake?
I want to know what your criteria is in terms of what's considered necessary for ranking your, each division. Meaning, you mentioned with AFC West, you don't think there's a team that could win the Super Bowl. So the AFC East has a team that could very well win the Super Bowl.
I think it's which division would, if I was, you know, in a mythical ninth division, which division would I most want to play or least want to play? I think that's probably the best metric to look at it.
Yeah, so the AFC East, you're probably going 3-1.
Yeah, you're at least heavily favored three times. The AFC West, you're in all four games. There's no, oh crap, we got no chance
but
at
there's
KC.
No easy win. Yeah.
But there's right. no gimme, maybe hosting Denver. But even, you know, their pass rush is still a
the
nightmare.
The AFC West, to me, has four teams that could really win on any given day. That's why I'm surprised.
Yeah, but who's good? Who's good in that division?
This division has the lowest
Who's
going to
win
ceiling.
It? Right. Who's going to win
the
this
lowest
division?
Ceiling.
I agree they have the lowest ceiling, but if the issue in terms of your ranking is who would you not want to face, the AFC West is I wouldn't be surprised if a team would go 0-4 against the AFC West.
Okay.
Okay. Well anyways,
maybe your mythical team stinks, Jake, and our mythical team is good, and we're going to go 4-0 again.
I agree. I agree with Jake a little, which is why I have the AFC North below the AFC West.
Yeah, so I have the North at 6.
Okay, so we're basically in the same place. Look, the Steelers are overrated, but are at least a playoff caliber team.
But you have to start getting really nervous about Big Ben, who's already injured.
Yeah, the Ravens are – yeah, he has a concussion right now. The Ravens are extremely average, which means, you know, in the AFC, they're in the playoff hunt for sure. Mm-hmm. And DVOA loved them last year.
Yeah.
You know, and in theory, they should only be going up with Lamar Jackson, but, you know, he's not going to play this year. So, and then the Bengals are bad, and the Browns are the Browns. So, to me, the AFC West, I'm kind of on Jake's side. It's 4-8-8 teams, and the AFC North collectively has two teams that are far worse than 8-8. The Ravens are an 8-8 team, and Pittsburgh's like a 10-6 team. So to me, the AFC North is worse than the AFC West.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh's ceiling is just so much higher than any of the West teams.
Yeah, but again, the Browns have a lower floor, and the Bengals probably also.
Yeah, I don't – I mean
– Okay, so we are in agreement that three of the four –
Yeah, we're basically – yeah,
the three worst divisions
really,
in football are all in the AFC. Yeah. So now the question is –
We just mentioned two playoff teams out of those 12 teams.
Yeah, what's the fifth worst division?
To me, it's pretty close. 2-5, honestly, wasn't that far away. But I actually have your division, the NFC North, at 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because I think the Bears are going to be better because they're coach, but I don't think they're good, and I'm still not buying Trubisky.
Okay.
Sorry, Sean. I think the Lions are the Ravens of the NFC, in which like they have a real ceiling.
Okay.
I think the Packers are not... Or this is probably coming to the year. This is the least excited anybody's been about a Packers team in like 11 or 12 years. And so,
I mean,
it's,
aren't the Packers automatically 10-6 minimum with a healthy Aaron Rodgers?
No.
No?
No, they lost lots of games last year with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And then you have one really good team. But a lot, every division we're going to talk about the rest of the way has a really good team.
All right. Well, that's not true because there's the AFC South to me is the exact same as the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slightly less egalitarian version because I think the Jaguars and the Texans are a little bit better than anybody in the AFC West.
I mean, in my opinion, they're 100 times better than the teams in the AFC West.
I mean, I don't think they're that much better than Kansas City. Let me put it this way. If I'm ranking teams 1 to 32, which, by the way, I've done, I would have the Jaguars and Texans both, you know, let's say between 8 and 10 or so, something like that.
Okay.
So they're not Super Bowl
But that means can
but-
be in the Super Bowl between 8 and 10 in the AFC.
Can be. I mean
you're a Tom. How about this? If Tom Brady tears his ACL tomorrow, I'm not begging God, but we're just mentioning it. Then who is the favorite?
Banged up
Ben Roethlisberger. Those two teams you just mentioned are going to be playing the second weekend of January.
But that's not a function of the goodness of the teams. That's a function of the badness of the AFC as a whole.
Well,
right?
So
that's
there's 16 teams. Someone has to be good.
Well, or not. It's New
Someone
England.
Has to be better
is good.
Than.
Pittsburgh is okay.
Maybe they won't do well historically on Chester ranking,
Well, here's okay, but hold on. Here's Chester's hot take of the day. Chester's hot take of the day. The fifth worst division in football, or the fifth best division in football is the AFC South, by which I mean all four AFC divisions are worse than all four NFC divisions. The best division in the AFC is worse than the worst division in the NFC.
I hear what you're saying. I obviously just slightly disagree.
I don't think the Jaguars and Texans are good but not great, which means in the NFC...
Did you have the North at 4 or you had the North higher?
Well, hold on. Let's put it this way. If the Jaguars and Texans were in the NFC, they would be less than 50-50 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, just because it's so messy. But I think the Texans start on day one with healthy Watson as a playoff favorite. But of course, I'd say their overall odds are probably
And then
in the
Tennessee 40s. and Indy, to me... Are mediocre, but not terrible. But we'll talk.
Tennessee
about it
is two straight 9-7 years, and like they upgraded a coach, probably. So
yeah, and so basically, to me, you have two teams in this division who would be borderline wild cards at best in the NFC, and then two teams in this division that would win four games each in the NFC because they're in the AFC. The Jaguars and Texans are probably going to win 10 games each. And
you think the Titans would go 4-12 in the NFC?
There's nothing about the Titans that impressed me.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota, we discussed it on our quarterback ranking podcast. Yeah. It has not improved over 3 years, and we'll get to them when we get to them. So, right. Yeah, so to me, that's the crazy thing, that all four AFC divisions suck. And then, by the way, the NFC North is not next. The NFC East, to me, is by far the worst division in the NFC. By far.
Yeah, I'm expecting a little bit of a bounce back from the Giants. I don't think the Redskins are going to be awful, even though I don't think they're going to be great. I think Smith is probably going to have a big season.
So
there.
I think both of those teams suck. And then we just discussed the Cowboys yesterday, and we were pretty negative on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So this is a slightly more glorified version of the AFC East. You have the Eagles, or obviously, the defending champs.
No, because the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins are light years better than the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. So it's much more.
Well, that's why I have them four instead of eight. But none of them are, there's only one playoff team in this division.
Yeah, I mean, if I was picking today, sure. I think you'd be right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so I have them at number four. Where do you have the NFC East?
Well, I had the East at two, but I'd say I'd flip it now to three.
Oh, my God. That's
because I'm a little high on the Giants this year. I think the Cowboys are fine.
My whole argument for the Cowboys was the only reason the Cowboys have a chance is because the division is such garbage. You think it's the second best division in football? That's nuts.
But I said two through five were basically a toss-up for me. The NFC South, to me, I had third.
To me, one through three are like completely
I think the Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to be terrible.
Wait, you have the NFC South third?
Third.
Oh, so to me, they're clear number one.
That you think is the best division?
I mean, last year it was. What's changed? You have three teams that all won double digits last year, all made the playoffs. They all have a reason to think they're going to be better. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is a lot of
I'm a little nervous about the Panthers.
Panthers were, the Super Bowl, 2 years ago, 2015. Mm-hmm. And then last year they were 11-5.
I mean, skill position players are not exciting. Like, people get excited about Christian McCaffrey in fantasy, but
well, hold on a second. Life, were they exciting in 2015 when Cam had 40 touchdowns and they went 15-1?
I mean, running quarterbacks traditionally get worse when they get older. They don't age well.
All right, they have a not to toot my client's horn, but they have a massive upgraded owner, which I think affects the franchise all the way through.
Sure, and the guys who help them buy the team for sure. That's a big. That's at least worth one win.
On the field, yeah.
On the field.
I just think Carolina is probably a distant third in this division, and they're really, really good for a third-place team.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one bad team in this division. In Tampa, if Jameis wasn't getting suspended, who knows?
No, I think that's a really bad team. I think that team could be a nightmare this year.
I just think because they're going to 1-5 in their division, they're going to suck in their
record, if they're seriously playing Ryan Fitzpatrick for three games he's not a backup at this point anymore.
I guess that means by process of elimination, you have the NFC West at number one.
Yeah, I think the West is the best because I think the Niners at worst are going to be an 8-8 team. I think the Seahawks also, even though we were kind of down on them, are have a basement where you still have to play Russell. Again, you're playing these teams in their hypothetical.
Well,
you're playing Garoppolo, you're playing Wilson. The Rams are really good, and they have the best coach in the NFL.
But this isn't a quarterback ranking. This is a division as a whole.
I understand, but I'm saying when I am a defensive coordinator, this division has two 8-8 teams.
You just said this division has 2-8 teams. The Cardinals are much worse than that, and the Rams.
No, I'm
are
saying
better
their basement is basically as an 8-8 team.
What's their ceiling? What's Seattle's ceiling? Because our Seattle fan thought their ceiling is, what did he say, 9-7?
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, their ceiling is like Russell Wilson wins MVP.
Yeah, to me, the NFC West is by far the most overrated division, by far.
Okay.
It's the best this division has been in a long time, but that's because this division was like a joke where 6-9-1 was winning the division, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think the Rams are loaded. I think
the Rams
Niners
are the most overrated
good
team in the NFL for sure. But
no,
they,
I think Goff bounces, back to earth, and the Rams are still great this year.
Yeah, look, they fancy themselves Super Bowl contenders. That's true. I don't think they're as good as the top of the NFC South. I don't think they're as good as the Vikings or the Eagles or the Patriots. I think they're, but whatever. Let's say they're an elite team. Fine. Seattle is a 500 team. The Niners are probably a 500 team, and everybody's slurping them. And then the Cardinals suck. So. To me,
I think the Cardinals are fine. I actually think the Cardinals are okay.
All right, with Sam Bradford or with Josh Rosen?
Well, it's ill. I'm not going to speak ill of Josh Rosen.
Yeah,
I think. I think either Bradford's good or Rosen plays. So one way or the other, they're going to have a shot at having a good quarterback.
Yeah, Bradford will be good for two quarters. That's true.
Yeah, I don't think Bradford still plays by October.
So those were our division rankings. We're like 15 minutes in. How about we bring our guest on?
All right, Jake, how's it going?
Good, doing all right. I had a little bit of a cameo in that section, but here I am.
Don't worry, we're gonna edit you out.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Where would you rank the AFC South, Jake?
based on your rankings, probably four. I'd say four.
Which is the highest it's been in probably its existence, right?
It's consistently been, you know, eight pretty much for the last, you know, 10 years. No, I think it's the division overall has gotten a lot better, which is scary because in my mind, I'm so used to looking at Jacksonville and Tennessee and even Houston as just being automatic W's. And now I have to change that mindset. So it's a little bit frustrating as a Colts fan, but it's nice in general that the division's getting a little more respect. Because
I got to say, for a Colts fan to be chucking in any automatic W's is a little much.
Oh, as when? When Peyton Manning was quarterback? Yeah, every year they beat that.
Well, when Peyton Manning was quarterback for your team, what's that, 6 years ago? Did any of us have children when Peyton? Well, Akiva did, but.
Yeah.
Jacob.
He didn't have children when Johnny Unitas was a quarterback.
Yeah. That's true. All right, speaking of old Colts, who is the last Colts coach? Because we're about to talk about the new Colts coach, Frank Reich. And I am old enough to have watched Frank Reich's 35-3 comeback. Well, I was ice skating for a lot of that game.
We're all the exact same age, Akiva.
You guys you just started following football last year. who is the which Colts coach is the last coach to have an under 500 career record?
An under 500 career record?
Career record, yeah. Who's the Colts coach with an under 500 career record last?
While they were a coach of the Colts or just
in general? Yeah. Just as the Colts head coach, they won less than half their games. What is that coach's name?
I feel like it's Marchibroda or
Marchibroda. Okay, not a bad guess. Yeah, no, it's the guy after Marchibroda. Lindy Infante went 12-20, and then Moore was 500. Dungy was 85-27. Kind of insane.
Peyton Manning was 85-27.
Yeah, true. And 7-6 in the playoffs.
Because Jim Caldwell had a winning record.
Had a winning record, and Pagano actually had a pretty good record.
That's also inflated. In the first 2 years, they went 11-5 with a really bad team.
Yeah.
Didn't they go 11-5 3 years in a row? Or was it 2 years?
I don't know if Pagano was there all three, though.
Maybe it was 3 years in a row. You're right, it was 3 years in a row.
Anyway, Jacob, tell us what your first reaction is to the Frank Reich era.
I'm excited about it. I mean, I was very happy when McDaniels backed out. I mean, it looks really bad for a franchise, and it's pretty embarrassing as a headline. But he's such a douche. I've never liked him. I wasn't happy when he was appointed the head coach. I think they really dodged a bullet with that. And the fact that he backed out the way he did really speaks to his character. Frank Reich seems like a pretty upstanding guy and seems like a pretty bright head coach. I mean, at least just looking at the offenses that he's been running over his career, there's a system to it. And I think someone like Andrew Luck, who obviously they have to change what they were, you know, at least the culture and change exactly how they're managing the expectations of what he can do. I think he can create some, you know, short game or at least some unique play calling that'll benefit Andrew Luck for the short term and hopefully in the long term. So I'm excited about it.
Reich is interesting in that he's a relatively new coach. Like he's only been a coach for 10 years, but he played so long and then took 10 years off. So he's a rookie coach at 56, which is extremely old for a rookie coach.
Yeah. Right. Well, Mike Zimmer was similar.
It's not old for a coach though. So it's not, I think.
No, I mean, he could have a good 10-year run, but it's just, he's not some like hot young prospect.
In a lot of ways, it's bizarre that you have coaches that are in their 30s. I mean, a lot of them are pretty successful, but even that's kind of strange. So, you know, at this point, I don't really think the age is really an issue.
Right. Trivia for Chester now. How many career touchdowns did Frank Reich throw? I'm assuming this is regular season only.
I will say 48.
40. 40 touchdowns. All right.
Now that I'm here in person, can I give some of the Chester stats that you've been mocking?
Yeah, give us some Chester stats. We'll have a little more free flowing today.
I want to talk about the hot free agent receiver you guys signed, Bryce Butler. Let's talk about
him. Oh, boy. Where is Bryce Butler? That's the segment. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want to say, Keeve loves to talk about, you know, whenever you've come on this podcast in the past, he's always done his whole 2-53.
And 2-53. You know, everyone knows it. Yeah.
The Colts are the worst team in the league, 2-53. The Colts are sort of a poor man's version of the Packers. If you look in Las Vegas, the odds makers consider Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck the two most valuable players in the league. The when they are out, their teams lose the most points in a line, which I think sort of indicates sort of in Vegas's confidence in your 2-53. Those who are listening to this podcast last year may remember I argued that fantasy owners should bring a class action lawsuit against Jim Irsay and the Colts because, in my opinion, they lied and misled about Luck all summer and into the season, basically because they wanted people to think Luck was around the corner so they'd keep buying tickets. But I'm going to make an argument here that actually to go 4-12 with all the injuries this team had and a quarterback who arrived like a week before the season started and lame duck GM and coach, 4-12 is actually impressive.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about the Colts, as long as I've known you.
Okay, well, now I'm going to flip it. The Colts led at halftime 9 times last year, okay?
Yes.
They went 2-7 in those games. Yeah. That's the first time in at least 30 years that that's happened. But here's what's even crazier. They led into the fourth quarter 9 times also. So they had fourth quarter leads in 9 games, and they went 4-12. As a whole, in the NFL, if you had a fourth quarter lead last year, you won 88% of your games. It's like it boggles the mind how bad the Colts were. In fact, there were only 3 teams in the NFL last year who had the most the 3 teams with the most fourth quarter leads last year until December when the Colts sort of fell apart. 2 of them were in the Super Bowl and the third one was the Colts. So the question is why? Why were the Colts so bad in the fourth quarter? Now here's a stat that's really going to blow your mind because I thought this was fake. I could not believe how bad it was, and you talk about how you're, you know, excited with Frank Reich and hopefully a new offensive scheme. When the Colts held the league in the held the lead in the fourth quarter, I'm going to ask you, Jake, how often, what percentage of the time when they were not in a 3 wide receiver set, so when there were 2 or 1 or 0 wide receivers on the field, what percentage of the time did they run the football?
In the fourth quarter?
Yes.
25%?
100% of the time.
Oh, my God.
Literally, not a single play the entire season did the Colts run in the fourth quarter. Did they pass the ball? Unless they were in 11 personnel. It's like they were literally, it is not mathematically possible to have been more predictable than they were.
How many plays they had that, though? That could be like not that many plays.
No, there was, and by the way, you're like, well, maybe they were running really successfully. Would you like to guess the yards per carry when they ran the ball in the fourth quarter?
Oh, God, I don't even want to know, but just tell me anyways.
1.9 yards per carry.
In my mind, nice. I thought it was 2.6.
I mean, I was saying like class action lawsuits. You should file a class action lawsuit against Chudzinski for like duty of harm.
Right.
You know, and so given how bad the running game was, the offensive line, all the injuries, the coaching, the play calling, I'm going to say Jacoby Brissett should have been a league MVP candidate last year.
Where is he on the CQBR?
Yeah, and by the way, and they traded him. That was, you know, people always talk about, you know, never want to trade with the Patriots. That was a great trade. I mean, you gave up a bust wide receiver, basically.
I know, who just got injured. Philip Dorsett just got injured in training camp yesterday, so it just makes the trade even more satisfying. So with that whole rant, what you're basically trying to argue is that there's only place the Colts can go right now is up.
Yeah, but not with the players on their team.
Well,
Here's Pro Football Focus's ranking of their groups. They have the fourth worst rush D. They have a well below average wide receiver core, although they like Eric Ebron. The worst secondary, a average offensive line.
Wait, hold on. They like Eric Ebron? Do they know that he has 4 feet and no hands?
Yes. They think he's like a bounce back candidate. And a below average pass rush. So they're literally good at nothing. They're 16th or better. At none of the groups, other than quarterback, who, you know, might not know to walk.
I just got excited when you said average offensive line. That was that was thrilling. I'm really
I think because they're assuming Quentin Nelson is basically the best player in NFL history. They were so high on him.
He does look really good.
And the right side, both your right side guys are Jets castoffs, basically Austin Howard and Matt Slauson. From like years ago.
Right. Slauson's been everywhere.
He was on the Bears for a while, but he was on the Jets for a while before that. And Howard, the Raiders gave a lot of money to, but he wasn't so good.
I don't know if Austin Howard is even going to start. They're looking at.
The left tackle's good, though. The left tackle could play.
Yeah. He's a little dinged up right now. I think they're going to let him sit out for the rest of camp. But he's. Mm-hmm. Anthony Costanzo is their left tackle. And as Alex Chester has noted, when I met Alex Costanzo a number of years ago with my wife, and there's a picture of us next to him, where he literally is twice our size.
Mm-hmm. You and your wife combined?
Yeah. Oh, us together, we probably don't even reach his height.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize how big NFL players are. You know, I think I've told the story on this podcast before. Like, but when I was in an elevator with Jake Long once, Jake Long took up 50% of the elevator, and then like all seven other people took up the other 50%.
Right.
Yeah, NFL players are big. Breaking news yes. here. yes. We have a new segment. Jared Jerome Chester asked for more segments. So
yes, he did.
New segment. It's called Other Than Aaron Luck, Who Do You Think Is the Best Player on This Team?
Who's Aaron Jake? Luck?
Andrew Luck, I said.
No, you didn't.
Who's Aaron Luck is Andrew's son.
Who's the best
player? Jake, other than Andrew Luck, who's the best player on the Colts?
I think you have to say T.Y. Hilton.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Jabal Sheard, but that's fine.
Well, no one on the defense. I mean, I like some of the players on the defense, and we could talk about that, but I think T.Y. has to be in that conversation. I mean, he put up – he's regularly catching close to 1,000 or more than 1,000 yards, and he did it last season with, you know, Jacoby Brissett.
It was so fun to own T.Y. Hilton in fantasy last year when Brissett was playing. Like, every game was 3 for 29, and then you'd bench him, and he'd have like 6 for 202 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and
the problem just with owning T.Y. Hilton in fantasy is, you know, he'll get a lot of yards, but he's sort of, because he doesn't get a lot of receptions, so he's gonna be a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah, right. He's definitely inconsistent.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, Akiva, can we make a league trade on this podcast?
Let's do it. What do you want?
Well, we've been talking about T.Y. Hilton, Kevin Love, right?
No, I don't want to. You want to just do straight up Hilton for Love?
No, you were throwing in a bunch of fab.
I like
I'm
going to
trade
Hilton.
A top 30 NBA player for a top.
He's not. No, Kevin
Love's
not
player.
Top 30 on anybody's rankings.
First of all, he literally is. Okay,
actually, I'm going to agree with Chester on this one. This season, he's the only option.
Better at? Jake, what's he going to become good at assists for the first time in his life? Like, that's not going to happen.
No, but he's going to score 25 points a game instead of 16.
Yeah, he might shoot 39% from the floor on high usage and like murder.
Why would he shoot 39% when he shot 46%
last year? Because
he's done
worse before. Look at his thing. He's shot 37% in his career.
He shot 46% last year. He shot 46% every year. He's a 46% career shooter, except for his first 2 years with LeBron.
I don't even think that's accurate. I think he has a lot of 43s in his career.
All right, let's go look at Kevin Love's numbers, because that's what you do on a podcast.
I can't evaluate that. I don't know the league well enough to evaluate it. But
46% last year. 46% his last year in Minnesota. Okay. Yeah, he was at 43 with his first couple years with LeBron.
He had three straight years, 43, 41, 42.
Well, 43, 42, 43, actually.
Well,
but anyway.
I'm not rounding down. But yeah, I know. And he shot 35% from the floor 1 year, which it doesn't even seem possible.
Well, what are you talking? He played 10 games that year. What are you talking about?
Oh, 18. But yeah, okay. That's still weird.
Yeah, he was injured. He had a broken hand from doing push-ups. He tried to play through it. You know, newsflash, it's hard to shoot a basketball with a broken hand.
This is his age 30 season. I mean, he's not going to he's not a top 30 guy. All right. His ceiling. Okay,
well,
is
anyway, in the only, and it's hard to find them in August, but in the only 2018-2019 categories NBA fantasy rankings that I've seen, he's number 31. But again, I think he's gonna be much better than that, because last time he didn't have LeBron on his team.
Well, then keep him. If you think he's a top 30 guy, he doesn't have that value, so keep him. Don't trade him.
Yeah, and by the way, he had 4.4 assists per game, so that seems pretty decent to me.
This past year?
No, the last time he didn't play with LeBron.
I mean, he was also 25 years old, and now he's past his prime.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's talk about the Colts for a few more minutes.
All right. You want to go? Should we go game by game? We haven't done that with anybody. Should we do that with Jake, since this is a little less traditional than some of the other episodes we've been doing?
Are you asking me for permission?
I'm asking you. Do you want to do a game by game schedule? We used to do this with everyone. Now we do it on very rare occasions.
Sure.
Should we bust out the schedule? In the meantime, while we bust out the schedule, Jake, who is the best non first round draft pick on this team going to be this year? Who's the best rookie outside first round pick?
Well, I think it would have been Deion Kane, which I think is a really bad loss that he went down. I think Colts fans are really upset about it, and I think he would have been a nice option to a pretty paltry wide receiver group. I think Kamiko Ture out of Rutgers might actually have a good year.
What position?
He's a defensive end. I don't know if he's going to be starting. He might be depth, but I think in terms of situational pass rush or even be able to, he's looked good in camp and he has a run stopping ability. I think he could come out being a decent draft pick for the Colts. But you know, every between everyone else other than Deion Kane and obviously Quentin Nelson, I'm pretty, you know, not that excited about. So I can't really, but I think you might hear his name a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets, you know, 5-8 sacks. It wouldn't be crazy.
Yeah. You guys also traded Henry Anderson to the Jets, and he looks really good, and he's probably going to start for the Jets.
Oh, I'm
and
so
the Jets have a lot of D-line.
The thing is, Henry
Anderson, like, they did not get enough. Anderson, like, he's definitely going to make the team, but he looks like he's going to start. Everyone really likes him. He seems to be a good player. I don't know why you gave him up. Seventh round pick is basically nothing.
The injury history was pretty tough. That's really what it came down to. And I think they were not really excited about his scheme fit. That could be part of it. I was a little upset about that. He's also a pretty likable Colts player. People in Indianapolis did like him. But the injury history is tough. You know, this is a very much a rebuilding kind of team. Chris Ballard, I just listened to an interview with him. He's really makes it a point of having guys that buy into the culture that they're trying to create. And that's something that's been missing in Indianapolis for a long time. So, and I kind of believe in what he does for the most part. I like what he's done so far. So I'm okay with that in the end, but Henry Anderson will look like a better player than whoever they got in the seventh round. You know, Matthew Adams and Zaire Franklin. Great.
All right, Jake, so you guys have a pretty interesting first month of the season with road games against both Super Bowl teams. So you open up at home against Cincinnati. You know this is going to be the Jim Nance game, Bengals-Colts. Everyone's excited. Who do you think is going to win that game?
What's really weird, I think they're playing them the week before in preseason.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah. They are doing that.
They always do that.
It's week four, so none of the actual players play in that game.
I think it's usually, and Chester probably know because he's probably ranked every game four of preseason over the last 30 years. It seems to be that the week four, you play just a local team, the closest team to your particular city. And Indianapolis and Cincinnati are 90 minutes drive away. So that's probably why.
Well, those guys really. First of all, I don't think that's true. The Vikings don't do that this year. They're playing
at
Tennessee.
Have to have a natural fit. Plus, there's only 32 teams, so the teams decide their preseason schedule, not the league. So
really?
You sort of have to have you have to have a relationship with the team.
I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
The Vikings are playing the Titans. The Broncos are playing the Cardinals.
I guess the Vikings don't have any good friends in the league, but the Jets always play the Eagles.
What's the closest team?
The Bears are playing Buffalo.
The Jets and the Giants are 0 miles apart. That's probably
they're playing in week three, not week four.
Yeah, they always play week
three. Green Bay's playing Kansas City. This does not seem to
be the case for the Snoopy Cup. They play that's a big game, Jets versus Giants.
That was Victor Cruz, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Victor Cruz, David Clowney, a lot of preseason superstars. All right, so are they going to beat the Bengals week one?
I think they will. There's going to be a lot of excitement because I think the Bengals are trash. I forgot which one of you guys actually were higher on the Bengals. I think they're absolutely a garbage fire.
That was
Akiva. I think we were both kind of down on them, honestly.
All right, Akiva. While Jake is predicting wins and losses each week, why don't we say where we rank the Colts game? So Colts hosting Cincy, is that the worst game in Week One? The other contenders.
I don't want to look at every week's schedule.
We're going to be here tomorrow night.
Do Week One. Yeah.
Okay. The worst games in Week One. The contenders are Cincinnati and Indy. Okay.
Is this from like a TV rating standpoint or our interest standpoint?
Whatever. The latter.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Tennessee at Miami.
Ooh. I mean, I just called the Dolphins the most boring team in the league, so that's probably worse.
All right. Buffalo at Baltimore. I think that's the worst.
That's bad. I kind of want to see Flacco. Like, I have no interest in the one thing that is a saving grace for the Colts Bengals is people are going to be curious to see what Andrew Luck looks like. So I think that probably very narrowly beats the two games you just mentioned.
All right. Washington at Arizona.
Yeah, that's not so exciting.
Yeah, like and then probably Bradford, the winner.
But now they're on different teams. Yeah. Wow.
Probably the winner, the early Monday night game, your Jets at Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, that's only a Monday night game because I think there's a Taylor Swift concert on Sunday. And the NFL I'm not joking. And the NFL was like boxed into making that Monday night game. I can't even watch it, right? I think it's on Rosh Hashanah. But that can't be number one. If you have an interesting rookie QB the Jets are not an exciting team, but that cannot be the least exciting game.
Is he starting week one, Sam Darnold?
It hasn't been announced yet, but I think he might even start tomorrow night.
Jake, don't you love the respect your team gets? We're here to preview the Colts. We've talked about Kevin Love's fantasy value. We've talked about the Jets starting quarterback.
Literally.
Really? Because we have Jake every year.
But the Colts.
The truth is, we wouldn't even, like, because I think we're only going to get to, like, two-thirds or three-quarters of the teams. Like, the Colts would have been a very easy don't discuss because they're not so bad that they're interesting, like maybe the Bucks will be, but they're not good. So it would have been an easy skip.
They're so boring.
We like
is Andrew Luck
they're very boring. The I mean, we start with the Bengals, who were maybe the most boring team. But, like, we like Jake. That's why we're talking about the
All right,
Colts,
okay, fine.
Really
so you start 1-0 in your head. Then you go travel to our nation's capital.
Your nation's capital, not my capital.
Yeah. to visit Washington.
Mm.
Yeah. That's a tough game. I think it could be a tough game.
Is Luck a Trump guy? You think Luck will, like, visit the White House? Is Luck a Trump guy? He seems like he is.
I don't think he cares. He's so
you don't think
very
he cares?
Apolitical. Meaning.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I feel like he likes reading books and talking about football. I don't think he.
Oh, what a nerd!
Oh,
I've met his dad a couple times. His dad's actually pretty political, Oliver.
Oh, that makes sense.
Isn't he the new commissioner of the XFL?
He's had a lot of interesting jobs. He was working at the NCAA when I met him. I think he's.
I'm assuming if he works for like the WWE, he's probably a Republican, right?
Well, I think you're obligated to be a Trump guy, right? Because Linda McMahon was like the small business.
Yeah, no, they're big. Yeah, they're. I think so.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So
what's
at
the
Washington.
Deal? At Washington.
I think
W.
Yeah, I think that's an L. It's too much. It's on the road. And I think.
All right. Okay. All right. I don't need that explanation. You drive up I-95. You face the Super Bowl champions.
I think that's an L. Also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a lot of tough road games to start this season. All right. Then you come home. You face your. Division rival, Houston.
I always think that they split with the Texans. I think they split last year with the Texans. I think they could win that game.
Okay. All right. 2-2. You go to the Patriots. That's a loss. 2-3.
It's the only primetime game, and it's a short week. Short week in New England. You may as well just like rest the start.
Yeah, you're facing a Thursday. Andrew Luck has not had a great track record in Boston either, or in Foxborough. All right. Then you face the Jets. Keeve, will you be at that game?
No, I'm going to be at the game the week before, the 7th.
Okay. All right.
I didn't want to go to an automatic
Should
W
I go to
like this one. I wanted a competition. So I went to the Broncos game.
I'm not Jake's going to this game.
Oh, you're
going to
go?
I'm
yeah,
excited,
yeah,
but now I think I should go. I knew they were playing the Jets this year, but for some reason in my mind, I thought it was in Indianapolis. Yeah, they'll win this game. The Jets are terrible.
All right, 3-3, confident, coming home facing the Bills.
I think the Bills are a candidate for the number one pick overall next season. I think
okay, good. They need a quarterback because they drafted Josh Allen.
They're the worst team in football. That's just whatever.
Yeah. Did you see Jalen Ramsey's article in GQ this morning?
Yeah, he was anti-Luck.
He's got a lot of but he was more anti Josh Allen.
Yeah, but what about Roethlisberger, who put up like 600 yards on him the last game they played?
Well, he was anti-everybody. He's got a very active.
That's insane. I mean, conference. Roethlisberger like made them look insanely stupid. I don't know.
All right, 4-3, and you travel to Oakland before the bye. By smack in the middle, the way it's
I think they could win that game, but I think it'll just be hard because you're traveling and the Raiders presumably will have at least a decent passing offense, and I think the Colts secondary is trash, so I'm gonna give that an L.
Yeah, all right, 4-4. After the bye, you face Jacksonville and Tennessee at home, two division opponents back to back.
Right, so Jacksonville, I mean, it's.
Jacksonville.
Right. So here's the thing. I might be the most bearish on Jacksonville. I don't think that they're going to repeat what they did last year at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts win this game and lose in Jacksonville. I just don't know why people are already christening them as, you know, AFC South champions and probably going to be in the AFC title game. I'm not that worried. And if you're telling me the offensive line is mediocre, maybe we'll actually win.
Okay, 5-4, and then Tennessee.
I think Tennessee's garbage, but
6-4. Wow, and then Miami to finish the homestand.
They could lose this game. They really can. This is a game they lose.
All right, 6-5. Then you go at Jacksonville. Season sweep.
No, they lose this game.
6-6 at Houston. Season sweep.
At Houston, they lose this game also.
All right, 6-7.
You're pretty toast.
Yeah. Houston and Jacksonville, I got to assume, are like at least 7-6 at this point. So must win against Dallas at home.
Big win this game. I don't like the Cowboys this year.
Big win. All right. 7-7. Mm-hmm. And now can you get the New York sweep?
Yes.
You face
the
Giants.
I think they'll beat the Giants
also. Week 16. All right. Wait,
say
that again?
I think they'll beat the Giants.
Oh, okay.
A full New York sweep, right? Didn't you have them beating the Jets and the Bills also?
Yeah. All right, 8-7 and a must win on New Year's Eve's
Eve. Could be for the division.
And they will lose this game.
Okay, 8-8. All right, so you have the Colts.
Yeah, I think they're going to be 8-8.
Yeah, no one ever has their team worse than 8-8, Chester.
Yeah,
that's what we've learned.
Well, actually, our Cowboys fan and our Seahawks.
Yes, yeah. But if we went game by game, they would have convinced themselves. Yeah.
All right, so 8-8. Keith, you have the Colts as the 30th best team in the NFL, so you do not think they'll be going 8-8.
No, I don't think. I mean, we did that, we were a little more down on luck than maybe now, where he's actually already played in the preseason. But yeah, no, this team is bad.
I had them a bit higher. I had them at 26. So overall, we average a 28. Jake, you find that to be extremely disrespectful.
Yeah, I think that people are conflating Andrew Luck's injury history with his talent. Meaning, if you're going to be concerned about the Colts, him getting injured, yeah, if he's injured, I think they'll be 4-12. With him healthy, I think he at least can give them 3 to 4 more games.
Yeah. I mean, when he was, you know, cruising to division wins, this division was just so much worse. Houston and Jacksonville were automatic.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I also like, we didn't really discuss that much about what they've done throughout the roster. I don't think this is a, you know, 2-15. Yeah, that was a little dig.
Listen, we had to talk about Kevin Love's fantasy.
Yeah. I don't think it's a 2-50. It's a, you know, from 2-53, it's garbage. I think they put a lot of emphasis on building up the O-line. I like some of the running backs that they have. I think that with a new offensive scheme, no, I'm serious. I think with a new offensive scheme, they could, you know, with a short passing game and different forms of like makeshift running plays, they could have a better ground game. I think Eric Ebron is the opportunity to be better. I mean, he cannot catch.
But he can get open.
But he can't catch. Maybe.
So I think maybe the goal is he gets open, and then you have Jack Doyle like a couple yards away to catch the deflections. That should be the strategy.
Jack Doyle dropped some sure passes last year, but I think Jacoby Brissett, one thing that you might not have really seen is that he has no touch at all. I mean, I think he has talent, but he zips it in as like a 2-3 yard dump off as a zip pass. I don't think he has any, you know, finesse at all to his throwing. And Jack Doyle got a little bit hurt by that. He's pretty sure-handed, though. I think that the offense has the opportunity to be better than people might think just offhand, considering that they don't really have a great receiving core. And the defense is garbage. It's designed to be a cover two defense, which is, by definition, bend but don't break. So any team with any decent, good wide receiver will just get 200 yards against them anytime. But I think Indianapolis' offense is enough to keep them in games.
My prediction is Deshaun Watson breaks Norm Van Brocklin's record against the Colts this season.
Reasonable.
I mean, your offense would have to keep up with them.
Before we let you go, you just said how they have a nice roster of running backs. So between the poo-poo platter of Marlon Mack and Robert Turbin and Nyheim Hines, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, I don't think he's bad.
Okay. Well, my question is, if you're a fantasy football owner, which one of these guys, if any, will have any value?
Oh, God. This is the team to stay away for fantasy running backs. This is a stay away. This is going to be running back by committee, I think. And I like that as a fan of the team. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Josh Ferguson gets – I mean, I think Christine Michael's not going to make the roster. People like Jordan Wilkins. I wouldn't be surprised if Ferguson or newly acquired Brandon Oliver from replacement level talent on the Chargers. But I think it's going to be a running back by committee and some short passes to almost replicate runs. I wouldn't be surprised if they do things like that.
Okay. You got anything more for him, Keith?
No, we already spent way too much time on the Colts. No offense.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Jake. We won't talk to you in January, so we'll talk.
What happens if you have to eat crow and you do talk to me in January?
No, we still won't call you. We don't really call a lot of the like first round playoff teams.
Oh, that's very, very kind.
Not the boring ones. Yeah,
not the boring ones. Like, you guys will be boring in the playoffs, boring the regular season.
So I should just be upset as a fan.
To be fair, they've had some exciting. I mean, you know, they had that great comeback against Alex Smith and the Chiefs.
Right, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's only boring when they face the Patriots. That's when they lose 45-7.
Yeah. No, I think that Bill Belichick loves just beating the Colts more than any other team.
Yeah, you guys are snitches. Snitches get stitches.
It is true.
Yeah. All right, Jake. Talk to you later.
Jake, do you have anything to plug?
No, I actually work full time, unlike Alex Chester. So mm-hmm. I don't really have it.
Didn't you have a podcast or about your fantasy football league or something?
Yeah, we still do it, but the guy doing it on the Newcastle.
He doesn't want to plug it.
I have nothing to plug.
You're not allowed to plug it?
I have nothing to plug it. I'm,
he doesn't want any of our listeners.
I have nothing to plug. I just do my own thing.
Okay.
All right, Jake. All right, Jake.
Keep it
good
real.
Good luck to your Colts this year. You know, I don't care. You're not facing the Vikings, so do whatever you want to do.
Last time, it didn't go so well for the Vikings when you guys played the Colts.
What was the last Colts Vikings game?
It was 2 years ago. You lost. I forgot the score, but it was like over at half.
Fine. You're yawning. Even you're bored. All right, Jake. Yep. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. And it feels like rain.
Like rain.